Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amy Dash is our CBS legal correspondent, and boy, do we need her today. Yeah, so she is up early for us.
I'm confused.
Amy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm here for you.
Thank you.
Twitter has me up until 2, 3 in the morning with questions about Zeke.
Yes. Wow, you committed.
And yeah, is it, seriously. Wow.
And it's Amy-TV on Twitter, is that correct? Or have you changed
it? Yeah, at Amy-TV.
Okay, and Amy does a great job answering your questions, and she's there all the time, all hours of the night, right, Amy, to answer your legal questions.
I don't need sleep. I'm not a real person.
Right. Okay, so I think I have a baseline understanding what is happening right now. He's going to play week one against the Giants. There is this temporary restraining order that may or may not happen that will probably end up hearing a decision on Friday. So what is this judge who is either going to grant the temporary restraining order or not? What is he taking into account to make that decision?
Okay, so there are two things here. I'm going to try to simplify this. A temporary restraining order basically is... that's a request for something immediate to happen right away. When they made that application, Harold Henderson hadn't made his decision, so they were trying to stop him from making his decision. Now he's made his decision. So the second thing that they asked for is an injunction. And this is something that would stay in place that would put a hold on the suspension until they can hash it out in court. What they're looking for with an injunction is basically they want to show that if the court doesn't give it, that Zeke can suffer irreparable harm. So it's a last resort. So it says to the court, you have to help us, because if you don't, something's going to happen to this player that nobody can fix. Now, the catch there is that if money can fix it, then the court's not supposed to grant the injunction, because it's supposed to be a total last resort. And the argument by the NFL is that there is no irreparable harm, because money could fix this. Any damage to his reputation, well, that's done already, they said. And whether or not the Cowboys make it to the championship, if he plays or not, well, that's just a speculative thing that we can't assess in court.
How can money fix this? If he sits six games, he's losing an enormous amount of money. So what's the rationale behind money fixing this? Money is not going to fix this. He can make some more money down the line, but that money's gone.
Right, exactly. But when you're looking at the analysis as a judge, It's not whether he's actually going to get the money and be fixed. It's could money restore him, whether he gets it or not. That's the analysis. So if he lost money, then what the NFL is saying, well, money would be able to restore him, whether he whether we pay him back or not. And as long as that's something that could fix the problem, then the court's not supposed to grant that restraining order.
Something that I have been referencing ever since this case came out is I think it's a lose-lose for the Ezekiel Elliott side because of precedent. I mean, we saw what happened with Tom Brady. Yes, there's different circumstances, but when the NFL decides it's going to suspend somebody and that suspended party wants to fight, they will find a way because of the language in the CBA to make sure that suspension is served at some point or another. Can we look at the precedent with the Brady case and say that the same thing eventually will happen to Ezekiel Elliott because of what's in that CBA in regards to the personal conduct policy?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that Brady stands for, in part, the fact that the court, federal courts don't want anything to do with these arbitrations. They want to stay away from them and leave them as is because they were bargained for under the CBA. And there's really no place for the court to be deciding anything. No, in the sense that Brady made the argument that the arbitration award with him should have been overturned because he didn't get notice. He also made a fairness argument, but the court didn't think it was strong enough. Here, Ezekiel Elliott has a very, very strong procedural argument to overturn the arbitration award, basically saying that the whole process was not fair for a couple of reasons. One is that he couldn't even cross-examine his accuser as part of the arbitration. Two, he couldn't cross-examine Roger Goodell as part of the appeal, and Goodell's the one that made the ultimate decision. And three, they have this whole theory about a conspiracy where the league, they're saying, hid information from one of the co-investigators who didn't feel there should be a suspension and also wouldn't give them her notes. So I think they have a much stronger case than Brady, and I don't think that Brady negates his ability to win and overturn the arbitration award.
Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio, Amy Dash, CBS Sports legal analyst, joining us here. What's the other recourse? Let's say the judge this Friday doesn't grant the injunction. What other recourse does the legal team for Ezekiel Elliott have?
Two things could happen. One, he could dismiss it entirely, which I think he has great grounds to do because they brought it way too early. They brought it before Harold Henderson even made his decision. So it wasn't ripe is what they call it. It wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. If the judge doesn't dismiss it, then it could stay in that Texas court and he could issue some sort of a hold on the suspension, like a stay, which is what Brady got. And then they'll hash it out in court and who knows when he'll serve the suspension, if ever. But if he dismisses it, then the NFL can try to run and file to enforce it in New York or somewhere else. Or his lawyers, Ezekiel Elliott's lawyers, can go back to Texas and run and try to file for a stay.
The Ezekiel Elliott side keeps using the word conspiracy over and over again anytime that they release a statement. Do you believe that they have, it's funny.
I guess not.
Yeah. Do you believe that they have any grounds to continue to use that word, or is that sort of just buzz language to get people's attention?
Oh, it's so evil, and I'm never a conspiracy theorist, but I agree with them this time.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because there are just too many things that indicate that the NFL tried to hide Kia Roberts' conclusion. First of all of these reports usually end with a conclusion. So they must have gone out of their way to tell Lisa Friel and Kia Roberts, oh, don't put your conclusion at the end of this 160-something page report. And after that, it's just weird. Like, why wasn't she at the meeting with Roger Goodell and the advisors? But the other investigator was there. And then the advisors ask what Kia's conclusion was and what she thought. And Lisa Friel won't directly answer that. I just find it very bizarre. And I think that it was hidden because they didn't want Ezekiel Elliott's side to use it during the arbitration. And they just, mostly, I think, they didn't want that type of disagreement to get out in the media among the co-investigators because it creates somewhat of a scandal. It gives people bait to question Roger Goodell and his decision. Whereas if he just has Lisa Friel in there saying that she thinks there should be a suspension, then that gives him a little bit more support. And so it just makes it a lot cleaner.
Amy, are we correct in our assertion that there was no conclusive evidence that Ezekiel Elliott, as we've read the transcripts, no conclusive evidence that Ezekiel Elliott caused these injuries? Now, there's speculation that he caused the injuries and that he was present when these injuries took place. But the way we read it, it doesn't say that. It sounds like a he said, she said.
I think it's a total he said, she said. But remember, you have a lot of court cases that are just made up of circumstantial evidence. Look at Bill Cosby. I mean, Bill Cosby's brought up with a he said, she said, and there's no direct evidence. This happens all the time. There was more evidence here than in a lot of the cases that are brought to the court. So the NFL did something that prosecutors chose not to do. They hired medical experts to examine photographs. And I didn't find the medical experts very persuasive. They were kind of all over the place. They were assessing which bruises they thought looked recent, which ones were maybe a couple of days old or a week old, how they happened. So that's all speculation, but it does happen in court all the time with experts. And then you have this metadata that the NFL got that the prosecutors decided not to go after, which confirmed basically that she sent the pictures on the days that she thought the injuries, that she said the injuries had happened. And also they recovered all of her text messages. They couldn't get a hold of his because he wouldn't cooperate. But they recovered tens of thousands of texts from her phone and her family phone. And basically these texts revealed that she was talking about what he allegedly did to her on those days and sending people pictures of it. But at the end of the day, like you said, this is all coming from her and he's denying it. He admits he was with her on those days, but he doesn't provide an alternative explanation as to how she got black eyes and bruises all over her body. The NFL made the leap.
Yeah, so the fact that you have transcripts that state she attempted to get her friend to conspire along with her to lie about this, and she also, the NFL also acknowledges that she has a credibility issue, is that going to lead to assisting Ezekiel in his camp?
No, because, well, it assisted him in the sense that the prosecutor didn't feel that he should bring the case because mm-hmm. of credibility issues. And the reason for that is because a lot of times with juries, once somebody is proven to be a liar, they won't believe them at all. The NFL chose to take the opposite approach, which I think is the right approach. Just because somebody lies doesn't mean they're a total liar. Mm-hmm. It could mean they're a total liar, but it doesn't also necessarily have to. They could be a victim of domestic abuse. So the NFL chose to believe her on a couple of occasions. Now, in the court system, they're not looking at the credibility of the accuser. What the judge is going to look at is purely, was there a procedural error or errors that made this unfair to Ezekiel Elliott and that merit the arbitration award being overturned?
Gio and Jones with Amy Dash, our CBS Sports legal analyst. I can't really get a grasp on why Ezekiel Elliott can play in week one, but it seems like it's the NFL's decision. Did you get any sort of clear indicators as to why he's allowed to play this week?
Yeah, I think because the judge pressured the NFL to answer the question over whether he would be playing. I don't think it's a relevant question. I was pretty surprised that the judge asked it. So there are two theories that I have. One is that the judge is a Cowboys fan.
Oh, no.
Well,
that's
who wouldn't be?
Theory.
Who wouldn't be, Amy?
Two is, and this is also related to him being a Cowboys fan. Two, he's a Cowboys fan, and he wanted to know how much time he has to issue his decision. Because if they didn't answer the question, then he would have felt pressured to issue the decision on the TRO yesterday, which is what usually happens. It's usually issued the same day or within a day or two. But once the NFL said, okay, we're going to let him play on Sunday, well, then he knew that he had more time, and he said, all right, give me till Friday. Because he didn't want to disappoint the fans or himself. That's my theory.
There are conspiracies all over the place,
yeah.
Man. The NFL, the judge.
It's funny. I'm usually so against conspiracy theories, but I think so here because I've never heard a judge pressure the NFL. Oh, by the way, what's the status on Sunday? And they're like, Judge, we're here for a restraining order. Yeah, 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 but is he going to play on Sunday against the Giants or not? You got to tell me right now. I mean, that's ridiculous. This, everybody had this theory out there that there was this 4 p.m. rule, and Harold Henderson had to issue his decision by 4 p.m. or Zeke plays. That was nonsense, too. I mean, at the end of the day, it's an NFL decision. So Harold Henderson upheld the arbitration award. Now, if the judge yesterday had ruled for the NFL, he wouldn't be allowed to play. But instead of ruling for the NFL or anybody, the judge first got the NFL to commit to let him play. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, that's interesting to us as well. Now, I never involve myself in other people's money, but how much do you think a defense like this will cost?
Well, the NFLPA is probably paying for the majority of it because they hired Jeffrey Kessler, and
he's
their
damn
lawyers
good.
Are running it.
Yeah, Kessler's good.
He is very good, but he's also very, very confident. So, like, every time I talk to him, like, for example, I talked to him, I said, I don't think you really have a good shot with this TRO because, first of all, you filed it way too soon. The guy didn't even make a decision. It's like, he's like, no. Like, he has an answer for everything. He thinks he's going to win every single time. And obviously he didn't with Brady or Peterson.
Do you have?
He thinks he's going to win again. I think he has a much better case this time, though.
So give me a figure. Give me a figure. How much something like this in case Gio gets in trouble?
Oh, gosh. All right. I know because a relative of mine had to go to federal district court. Mm-hmm. So the lawyers charge about like $500 an hour, but you're talking about Jeffrey Kessler, who's the top, so he could be up to like $700 to $1,000 an hour.
Damn.
This is a total guesstimate.
Damn.
But he's in New York City, so you're talking about an hour, and they spend, I mean, just to get a TRO in is probably in the range of $20,000 to $40,000 or $50,000 just to get the TRO in. That's the first step.
You know what this means? This means Amy got some coin. Amy, loan me $5.
Oh my God! But I'm a legal analyst on television. I make nothing. I should go and work as a lawyer.
Do you have a favorite lawyer? Like we have favorite players in sports. Do you look at somebody? And go, that's my guy right there,
or my girl.
That's such a great question. I've never been asked that question before, so I've never really thought about it.
Mine's
yeah,
Rusty Harden.
I guess you know what? I like Judge Judy.
Oh,
she's
really?
A former lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah, because she's really blunt and she doesn't take BS.
Judge Judy. Okay.
She's a little harsh, but I like her.
Yeah, mine's Rusty Harden down in Texas.
Oh, yeah, Rusty's the man.
Oh, when I see him, I get excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Johnny Cochran back in the day.
He's dead now.
Johnny was good.
And we're talking about living.
I said back in the day, I know he's dead.
Yeah. A lot of those
lawyers aren't really lovable people, the majority of them. So
yeah, but you being a legal analyst, you got to respect some guy's work. You know, if you look at say like, this person is,
I know some lovable lawyers.
Do you?
Yeah, I
you
got
know what?
Friends
it's
in the
hard
business.
Because everybody's got a side. When you're a practicing lawyer, you have to choose a side.
Yeah, right.
So I see myself sort of as like the balancer of the different sides.
Mm-hmm. Amy.
So I like to challenge the lawyers and their camps rather than respect them too much.
Oh, well,
Amy,
okay.
we are happy that you were on our side.
Yes.
And thanks again for getting up early this morning. You're already up. Thanks for joining us early this morning. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right.
That's Amy Dash, our CBS Sports legal analyst.
Get back to the Twitter now.
Do you think that they should make like lawyer trading cards and stuff? I mean, we see
I'm
so
sure
many of
for
it.
Some people, that would be pretty cool.
It's got to be. I mean, think about it.
Why not?
I mean, there's so many. Pete's saying to me, Marcia Clark, but she was a DA, though. That's a little bit different. We're talking about lawyers. Yeah. And DAs are different. That's a whole different field, you know?
I got a couple good ones down in Austin that get my Longhorns out of trouble from time to time. They share some good stories.
Who's your favorite lawyer? The one that got me. You know,
not me. No,
no jail time.
No,
yeah.
No. But no.
Yeah, why are you scaring me now? Why are you asking about how much of the FD defense
in case
costs?
You get in trouble?
And me get
in
trouble?
You never know what can happen. You know, one morning you show up at work and co-host not there.
That's not going to happen here. But you, there, you know what's funny is I actually carry a
what?
Card.
I am not a criminal card.
No. I actually carry a card just in case anything. One of these guys who's like a high-profile defense attorney in my wallet. His name is Arthur Idala. He's a local guy. He's like big time. I remember he helped LT with a couple things.
Oh, so you hanging out LT peeves. Okay.
Yeah, just okay. Right, a couple things. Lawrence Taylor, yeah. I got it in. That's my guy.
That's your guy.
Just in case.
Is he $1,000 an hour?
Probably more. Mm. We have a mutual friend, mm-hmm. so maybe less.
You need to have one on retainer.
Oh, there is, yeah. See? Yeah. I'm not kidding. Oops, sorry.
Let's see.
You too.
Yep.
He knows people. He knows
there
people.
You go.
Yep.
Brooklyn and New York office. Oh, big time. Time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I only mess with the big time. Man.
There you go, baby.
I only mess with
you gotta have them. You got to know one to ever see. At least I do.
All right. Coming up next, they're changing things in college football. Freaking out. Coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Do I have an update? I have a microphone.
What happened? Well,
I just forgot to know. Forgot to hit the button that said on.
Oh,
here I am.
Hey,
so
man.
In non-Ezekiel Elliott NFL news, the impending arrival of Hurricane Irma means the Bucs and Dolphins will not play in Miami Sunday, shifting the game to November 19th, which both teams have off. Is apparently the more likely option, but the game could be played at a neutral site this weekend, which would be fine with Jay Cutler and the Dolphins.
Luckily enough for us, we started Monday, so we're kind of ready to go. I mean, if they want to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're kind of open to anything, and this team is young and flexible, and they're ready to rock.
Delaying the game until November would mean the Bucs and Dolphins would play for 16 straight weeks. As for Elliott, his six-game suspension upheld yesterday by arbitrator Harold Henderson, but Elliott will play Sunday night against the Giants. A U.S. District Court judge will rule by close of business Friday on the Players Association's request for an injunction for Henderson's ruling. Elliott's lawyers saying in a statement their client is looking forward to his day in federal court. There is a change this morning among the AL wildcard teams.
Luckily enough for us, we started Monday.
3-2 pitch, and it's sliced into left field, diving in and not catching the ball is Joyce. Angels are going to score a run on it. And the Angels take the lead here in the 10th inning. It's now 8-7.
And that was the final in 10 in Oakland. Terry Smith had the call on Angels radio. The Twins had already lost 2-1 in Tampa Bay, so Anaheim jumped Minnesota for the second wild card. Cleveland running its win streak to 13 with a 9-4 win at the White Sox. Two more home runs for Jose Ramirez. That's 7 on their 11-game road trip. The Red Sox needed 19 innings to beat the Blue Jays 3-2 at Fenway, while the Yankees lost 7-6 in Baltimore, and Manny Machado's walk-off two-run homer. New York had led 6-1. The Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers again 3-1 in 10 in L.A. That's 12 straight wins for Arizona, 5 straight losses, 10 in 11 for the Dodgers. The Brewers losing 9-3 in Cincinnati as the Cubs were losing in Pittsburgh 4-3, so Milwaukee remains 3.5 games back of those Cubs in the Central. Alabama receiving 60 of 61 first-place votes in the new AP college football poll. That other first-place vote went to Ohio State. The Buckeyes staying at number 2. Florida State dropping from number 3 to 10 after losing to the Tide and losing QB DeAndre Francois to that knee injury. And Venus Williams and Sloane Stephens setting up the first All-American women's semifinal at the U.S. Open in 15 years with 3 set wins yesterday. But American man Sam Querrey, the last American man in the draw, losing in 4 sets to Kevin Anderson. Guys?
Thanks, Bogus. I think some important people were listening to us in January because we said, hey, who's performing halftime in the national championship game? Mm. And we thought about it for a while and said, well, wait a second. No one's performing. The bands perform. No one does a big halftime show. Mm. And then we said, you know, they should probably do a big halftime show like they do at the Super Bowl at the national championship
game.
You
think our boy Bill Hancock was listening?
Yeah.
The head of the college football playoff committee?
Because guess what's happening, reportedly?
Yeah.
For the next college football playoff championship game at halftime.
A little entertainment.
Taylor bleeping Swift.
What?
That's yeah,
my
man.
Girl.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You tall, six or thine.
You like Taylor Swift?
Oh,
huh?
I do. Yeah.
Did you? We played her new song.
Yeah, I don't like that. The new song.
You just like her.
I like her.
It's shake basically it off. What
it's like, oh my God.
Don't you shake me off, girl. Yeah, shake it off.
Mm. It's a little creepy how excited you get about her.
Why is that creepy?
Just a little bit.
That's not creepy.
Don't shake me
off. I ain't grabbing
her
buttocks like that dude.
Yeah.
I would never violate her personal space like that.
Now, I haven't seen anything about what's going to happen. I mean, hopefully the band still get something or other.
Did we have... I'm trying to remember when we went to the title game. Did we have... Who performed?
Nobody. We just it's the, always been the bad.
I don't remember what happened in January. I don't even remember talking about it in January. You remember what happened in January. and I'm trying to remember who performed. Somebody performed in Tampa this past year when I went. I'm sure of it.
At halftime, though?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
You sure?
I'm positive. They have the big national anthem singer, and I think that was basically it. I don't think anybody performed. I think we went over this.
Carlos Delgado?
No. It was
Carlos, he probably did.
It wasn't.
In Spain. It was reggaeton.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh. Well, good for Taylor.
That's right.
Cool.
Yes. And good for the fans that will be there.
I'm gonna be right there shaking it off.
So,
backstage.
In more serious news,
bring
what's
you a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Okay. I don't know why.
Rub it all on you.
Why rubbing Chick-fil-A on her?
Oh, man.
What the hell is wrong with
Ooh-wee.
You? Have you done that before?
50 Shades of Chick-fil-A. Wait. I finally saw that movie. Have you seen it? 50 Shades of...
No.
Was it Grey?
No, it's terrible. It's for lonely housewives.
It's not.
Fat husbands who need something
to
get excited
about.
Have you
guys seen it?
That was the most ADD Brian Jones segment of all time.
From Chick-fil-A, rubbing Chick-fil-A on Taylor Swift to 50 Shades of Grey?
And no, I have not seen it.
No.
I thought it was pretty good. I was surprised.
That's terrible. The sequel I've seen, though, Brian.
I saw both. I watched back to back.
Oh, good for
50
you.
50 Shades, what's the other one? Darker?
Do they rub Chick-fil-A
No,
on
no,
each
no,
other?
That's my deal. That's my signature
That's what
move.
You do?
That's my signature
You
move.
Rub chicken on people?
What's wrong with that, boy? You know how good that chicken is on
that's
a nice, warm
that's a
body?
That's bizarre fetish.
Keep the chicken warm and
why
the
can't
body
you,
warm.
Why don't you eat the sandwich and then...
Oh, I do.
You know, there's something really, really wrong with you. There's something off in there, in that head.
With the pickles or without the pickles?
You got to keep the pickles on. Spice
rubbing,
it up a little bit.
Rubbing.
Yeah. You right. Put the pickles
I got a lot of meat on my bones.
Let's see that is gross.
It just ruined it.
You just ruined it. You put this big ass into this. Man. You just messed up the whole fantasy.
Ho, ho, ho.
Sports Giants.
Oh, he just, what do you want to talk about now?
I was going to talk about something serious.
He's going to put that.
Yeah. I
big
was.
Big booger bear, three teeth, no hair. Gosh. I don't go serious. Come on.
All right. Is Justin Tuck ready, by the way? Can we find that out? Because I'll break now so we have more time with him.
Oh, is he here?
Hey, Mike, is Justin Tuck ready? Because I'll break now so we have more time with him. As we figure out these things on the air here at Gio and Jones.
That's right. We keep
care.
It real.
We do keep it real. All right, so Justin Tuck's going to be in studio with us, two-time Super Bowl champion, a massive defensive end who played for the Giants.
Badass.
He's just, I got a lot of respect for this dude and excited for him to.
Wish you had something for me.
Yeah, I told you I did. Well, that's weird. That part of you I don't have any respect for, but everything else I do. He's going to join us in studio next.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Now they got the billion-dollar contest, the billion-dollar lineup challenge.
With a B.
With a B. It's a one-time test of skill to celebrate the start of the NFL season. And they usually have the millionaire maker, which happens every week. They've been doing that. And that's something that will continue to happen. But the billion-dollar lineup challenge, DraftKings.com.
Wow. Download, I could use a billion.
Download the app. It is, well, everybody, I think, could use a billion.
Not everybody. But the dude that just bought the Rockets. Well, maybe he does.
He can use a billion too.
Justin, good morning. What's happening, man?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you still look like you could play like a couple hours from now.
Yeah, jeans, man. I got good jeans.
Yeah.
Good bones. Good foundation. Now, how long you been out of the league? When did you retire?
This is my second year.
Second year.
Yeah.
Still have the itch?
Nah.
Really?
I didn't have the itch. That's why I retired. I knew I wasn't going to have the itch. Obviously, there's obviously components of the game and, you know, the travel, the team, the locker room, so on and so forth. But I don't miss, you know, waking up on Mondays and taking like 7 minutes for me to straighten my back out.
Right.
But, yeah, I have no regrets, man. I really have been blessed to, you know, win, to make a lot of money and, you know. Yeah, I'm good.
Well, yeah, I'm good. I don't need your billion, DraftKings.
Yeah, I do, though. No, hold on. Rescind that comment.
Was it easier to walk away when you did because of the stuff you accomplished in those two Super Bowls as well?
Yeah, it definitely had something to do with it. But, I guess I'm different from most, but I never kind of resonated with the fact that I was a football player. I think I am Justin Tuck, and I played football, but there's so many other components to my life that was important to me. And, you know, obviously football gave me a platform and allowed me to experience a lot of things that I wouldn't have gotten to experience. That being said, you know, I want to go experience those things now. And, you know, obviously football has allowed me the opportunity to do that.
That is so profound what you just mentioned, because we talk about the transition on this show all the time and how difficult that transition is once you leave the game, because your whole identity is wrapped up into that number on your back. And now you're removed from that, and you have to relearn a certain amount of things, and you really have to get in tune with who you really are. So you're saying that adjustment wasn't a part of your transition out of the game?
Well, it still is. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, luckily for me, I understood at an earlier time in my career that the NFL stood for not for long.
Yeah.
And obviously I was blessed to play 11 years, but I never thought that I would make it to that point. So along the way, you know, in the off season, I was doing things that maybe most guys wasn't doing. I was taking internships. I was cultivating relationships with business leaders and people in spaces that I thought might be interesting once football was over. So once that time came, I had, a leg up. But that being said, it wasn't like this transition has been like all you know, smooth. And,
right.
Yeah, it's been some ups and downs in it. But, you know, I think for me personally, it's because, you know, because of all that in the off seasons going forth, I got a lot of options. And the hard part is like figuring out, okay, football was easy. I knew I wanted to do it as a kid. Now, you know, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do this. Trying to get exposure right now to make that lifetime decision on what's next, that's the hard part. Because for me, I want to make sure whatever that decision is the right one. So you have to do your due diligence about all of them. And that's the hard part right now.
Gio and Jones with Justin Tuck on behalf of DraftKings. I'm already making week one lineups on DraftKings. We have a friends group that we do. There's so many things you could do on DraftKings, and they have the $1 billion lineup. I'm going to do all the work for you today with DraftKings.
I see that,
so trust me, I'm well versed.
Thank you.
I'm well versed.
Thank you.
The stuff that's going on in the league now, and how it seems like the Players Association is always on with the short end of the stick. We hear a lot of talk about how a strike is the only way that's going to change things. DeMarie Smith has said that it's going to be a few years from now, 2020 or beyond. Do you think that we're in store for a big work stoppage so the players can get a little bit bigger of the piece of the pie, and maybe some of this personal conduct policy stuff can be rectified as well?
The simple answer is yes. I'm not going to go too in depth here, but I think the previous CBA was tremendously one-sided. And I do believe that the NFLPA has done a great job of unifying the players more than what we were when we came up. And there's a lot of issues that players have voiced, some displeasure with. And short answer is yes. It's definitely going to happen. The magnitude of which it is, I'm not sure, but I do think it's going to get into the games. I think the last one didn't. I think this one will. I think, the league is a lot more unified than it was
Why do you think they weren't unified back then? Were there more pressing issues that they were focused on other than realizing you were giving the commissioner way too much power?
Sure. You know, I think back then, I don't think we understood our power as much. I think going forward, seeing how ununified, and I don't know if ununified is the right word, but just seeing how things turned out as far as what we signed and you know, how it wasn't in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made us have some really, really tough conversations in locker rooms. It made us have some unifying conversations about what the next time would look like, and being a little bit more educated on the process, a little bit more educated on, you know, what other leagues had done and how that sacrifice back in the day in baseball or basketball has really, really cultivated to what you see in those leagues now. And the NFL is the most powerful league it is out there. And, you know, players' slice of the pie is probably the lowest when it comes to that. So, yeah, that's completely wrong in my book. That being said, I think it has the potential to get really ugly, to be honest with you. And I'm hoping that it doesn't, obviously, because no one wants to see games missed and there be, you know, that divide. You know, I think everybody wants, at the end of the day, to have a unified league and something that, you know, a product you can put on the field for the fans to enjoy. Absolutely.
What do you think the biggest issue is amongst your peers that are still playing? Is it the guaranteed money issue, or is it the fact that the commissioner can do things like he's doing in some of these suspensions that you see of star players?
Well, I think the biggest, from my perspective, you know, money has never been like the number one issue for me personally. So that being said, you know, I take that off the board. But I think for the popularity and the growth of this league, there has to be some more consistency. Like, it just seems like, you know, Mr. Goodell can just pretty much just say whatever. I mean, like, you got six games for this, and another guy gets one game for this, or no suspension for this, or, you know, no suspension for this, and then another guy gets, you know, suspended for the year. It's no consistency. It's no consistency. And it's like, I think it has created a huge divide within the trust of players, owners, fans, so on and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's my biggest component.
Well, it seems as though that the players and the union, for once, are on the same page. And you have a union that you can believe in. I know there's been a lot of outreach to us retired guys by the DeMaurice Smith and his charges there in D.C. So that's good to see, and that's a huge feather in your cap. Now, whether or not they can band together and stay together, that's the big question when it comes time for that shoe to drop. And that shoe to drop means sitting and missing those paychecks.
And that's the hard part, because, you know, you got to think about it. The owners aren't obviously super strong. that goes without question. And what I noticed when you do your research on other leagues and why their unions are so strong and why their CBAs are so strong is because people had to sacrifice. I'm hoping that us as a players association is willing to sacrifice. And that's going to mean, like, yeah, you're going to miss some checks. That's going to mean that you're going to miss some games, or you're going to, you know, have people getting on your Twitter page saying you're selfish and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, I think we have to understand that, you know, for the greater good going forward, there might need to be a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it.
Kurt Flood.
Yeah. So it might need to be.
Or start playing DraftKings right now.
There you go, man. That billion dollars, I tell you what, you know. Obviously, it's a draft. I mean, it's a salary cap as far as how you picked the league. But if I can figure out a way to win this DraftKings, man,
I might
be on the owner side.
Jones with Justin Tuck. He's kidding. He'll never be on the owner side. On behalf of DraftKings, they do have the $1 billion lineup challenge. That's not the only thing you can play there. They have the millionaire maker. There's smaller contests. There's head-to-heads, there's 50-50s. There's also a league that Justin talked about.
Join my league.
That you can play against them. How do you find that league? Do you know yet?
Yeah, it's just called Tuck's League.
Tuck's League.
I tried to make it really, really simple. So if you forget that, man, you don't deserve to be in
Tuck's
my league.
Tuck's League.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
All right. Do you have any idea who you're going to play, like, one of your running back spots?
Man, I'm not giving you that. No, man.
I'm just trying to find out.
So this is not – this is what you play each and every week.
Yeah, there's a daily fantasy. Yeah,
but just a clarification on the $1 billion, that's week one.
That's it.
Oh, just
that's
week one.
Yeah, so get your lineup, man.
Yeah.
Get your lineup.
Only one chance to win $1 billion.
But
every week they do the millionaire maker.
Yeah, every week they do that. And plus, look at it like this. It's not like playing a lotto. You ain't got to buy a ticket. It's free. And I want to also clarify that, you know, New York is legal. New York.
It's free.
Yeah, free.
If it's free, it's for me.
After Schneiderman got his pound.
Yeah, he got his
flesh,
cut. Yeah. Right, yeah.
He was able
to. Schneiderman.
Is that where we sent Mikey B?
Yeah,
we did. Little rally?
And let DraftKings and anybody else involved know that we have been fighting for them
on
fighting
this particular
the good fight,
program.
DraftKings.
That's right.
We damn it.
Tried to get that Schneiderman right. on the show and everything.
Yeah.
Why you think we here?
Yeah, man. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, well, you good. See, you they got a good one. Well, you good. Yeah, you were good that time.
Yeah. not my first rodeo.
Do you want another serious topic or you want like a...
Listen, man, it's your show.
No, I know, but I feel like I felt bad because in the beginning you're like, I don't really want to talk so much about the CBA stuff. And then
sure,
right, I'm going to ask you, whatever.
What do your fans want to know?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, I think...
Oh, they want to hear about
nothing. They lazy.
They want to hear about this billion dollars. I know that.
Yeah, no, I bet
that. Nah.
Well, I was going to ask you about what's happening with Kaepernick.
Sure.
And we have been on the side that he needs to be signed if he wants to play football. We do believe he wants to play football.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like everybody's coming up with an excuse as to why he's not on the team outside of the fact that it's all about his protest. Do you believe that Colin Kaepernick deserves to be on an NFL roster today?
Absolutely. I mean, that's not even the question. I think the question is, you know, well, this ain't a question either because it's, to me it's obvious. You know, I think, and I'm not saying owners are racists. That ain't where I'm going with this. I think the fact that he's taking the stance that he's taking brings on baggage. And the question is, does his talent, which he does have talent, that's, you know, you can't deny that, but does his talent outweigh the baggage? I would say that's 95% of the issue. There's, and I'm not, you know, I don't know. This is just a speculation. There's probably 5% of the issue that some owners don't agree with his stance.
Yeah.
And that's fair. That's, mm-hmm. that's whatever. That's
I wish they'd just come out and say that and quit
exactly.
hiding behind all these other.
That's what. That's basically what I was about
excuses.
To get to.
Yeah.
Just be like, yo, we don't agree with his stance.
Yeah.
We don't want that in our locker room. We don't think it unifies our team.
Yeah.
Something like that.
If you don't believe there's an issue out in society, which there is.
No question.
Okay. Just come out and say it. But they're afraid to say that.
Yeah, but how big of a distraction is it? Because everybody uses this word distraction, and you guys know better than me because you've been on these teams, you've been in these locker rooms. But,
mm-hmm.
okay, he shows up, he gets signed by a team. A bunch of media shows up there one day. You got to answer questions about Colin Kaepernick being on your team. Then what? It's over, right? I mean, then he kneels and you get a couple questions there.
I tell you what, I haven't heard anybody say anything about this or have it use a comparison. But there was a time when everybody was saying, Tim Tebow is a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
He still got a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Tim Tebow, by the way. So don't think that's me playing this white-black issue. No, that's not what I'm doing
Why
at
you
all.
Love Tim Tebow?
Because I love what he stands for.
Uh-huh.
Christian guy that,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that's done, I mean, on face value, he's done everything the right way.
Yeah.
As a man. You know, forget football. I just like what he stands for as a man.
Let me ask you this, because you've had, I'm sure, numerous coaches. I don't think there are a number of guys in the league that can coach Colin Kaepernick, that type of talent. That may be the problem as well. They're afraid because they don't know how to harness that talent
sure.
or direct that talent.
Yeah, it's difficult. He's not the typical quarterback. Sure, he's not. You know, obviously it takes a certain offense for him to thrive in. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell me that he's not the 33rd best quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
You tell me he can't be a backup?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're telling me?
Yeah. Well, we've come to a conclusion.
Obviously, I don't know what his, you know, his price point is. I don't know what negotiation goes
right.
with. That I don't know. So a lot of this is assumptions.
Well,
I don't know. You know, you can't tell me that there's not a team that can't harness his talent. You know, like, you can't use that as an argument.
Well, he is doing such great work for black quarterbacks
Absolutely.
Who stink.
Absolutely.
And so we appreciate that. And
that's,
Joe
that's
Gillum, James Harris, they're
great,
still alive. They're going to come back and come
line.
Back into the league because
that's
thanks to Colin
line.
Kaepernick, any black quarterback, anyone even played Pop Warner
yeah.
quarterback, and you black, the NFL will sign
yes.
you instead of Colin
right.
Kaepernick.
See?
Yes.
We're not racist.
So unintentional consequences.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Look at Joe Webb and Dan
awesome.
Lewis.
See? Hey, he got one arm.
That's a lie.
But we're going to sign him, right?
You know, he played quarterback in high school. I know we drafted him as a tight end. I know,
exactly.
But he played quarterback
He's
in high school.
He's our emergency quarterback. There
yeah.
it is.
Right.
The great Justin Tuck, 2-time Super Bowl champion. Join his league on DraftKings. If you haven't played before, get involved. involved, not only because there's $1 billion and $1 million there. It's just fun. It's fun to do. You don't have to worry about injuries with your season-long team. DraftKings, download the app, DraftKings.com.
I'm picking Notre Dame this weekend versus Georgia.
I'll be there.
Cool.
Justin, thanks, man. We appreciate it. And check
My
out
pleasure.
His books, too, by the way. Justin Tuck. Children's books.
Look at you, man.
He wrote some books.
I'm coming back.
I love this
Y'all can have me on the show any day.
Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For 6 consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today, plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.